Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this Easter Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, But by the Grace of God. Here's Bill Baxley with our scripture reading.
Today's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Very early, on the morning after the Sabbath, three Galilean women set out under the cover of darkness to visit the tomb where their friend and teacher was buried. The events leading up to this moment had been absolutely brutal, as this friend of theirs was arrested, convicted, and crucified all within a few days' time. There was a tremendous amount of fear that ripped through their community as the week progressed from one event to another. Some abandoned the cause early. They slipped away when nobody would notice. Others stuck around for the trial and the conviction, but then they disappeared beneath the shadow of the cross. But these three women were there for all of it. According to Mark's gospel, the women were there from the very beginning. You may remember the text from a few weeks ago in Mark chapter 1. When Jesus begins the healing ministry in Galilee, it was a woman who became the first servant, diakonine in the Greek, the root of our word, deacon. Throughout the gospel, the women are there. They're there serving in the background of the story. And here at the end, it is the women and only the women who remain. From their marginalized place in the ancient society, these women embody one of the core principles of Jesus' message. Whoever wishes to become great must become a servant of all. It is the women in Mark's gospel who continue to carry out the message of Jesus even after the crucifixion. Whereas Peter has denied him, James and John have gone away. They are hidden with the others. And Joseph of Arimathea purchased linen, wrapped the body, and placed him in the tomb and sealed the entrance with a stone. The women buy spices. And they go to that tomb and they prepare to anoint the body. And they wonder about how that stone will be rolled away. At least according to the narrative in Mark's account, the men had closed the chapter on Jesus' life with a big old stone, but the women were ready to open it back up. And they would reopen the story by doing exactly what Jesus told them to do the whole time, to serve. In other words, the male disciples considered the story was over. But the women resisted. They resisted its ending, and instead, they persisted in finding ways to live their faith just as Jesus taught them all to do. But who would roll away the stone? How could they once again be with their Jesus? Where would they go from here? Nobody knew. And still they went, faithfully, as disciples bearing witness to the life and the mission of their teacher, their friend, their Messiah. When death draws near, there is so little that we know. There's so little that we can understand, and often it feels like pure chaos as we are caught by grief that we never even knew we needed to plan for. When endings come and plans are canceled, when nothing is happening in the way that we thought it might, or the way that we had hoped it might, or the way that we had faith that it might, we find ourselves caught in a perpetual Good Friday. We feel abandoned by God. We feel utterly alone. And in those places, we find ourselves making decisions that we really weren't ready to make. Decisions about our future, how we will move forward, if we will move forward at all. This year has been one of those years. It's been a year characterized by grief we didn't even know we needed a plan for. First, a global pandemic that forced closures of restaurants and storefronts and concerts and sports arenas. And then the realization that any kind of gathering at all, anything that brought people together for any purpose, was unsafe and it had to be avoided. We all responded by changing our rhythms of life and work and finding ways to do it all from home. As a church, we adjusted as well, did we not? I don't know about you, but I've never experienced an Easter quite like this. We turned our traditions inside out, so that the very things that were created, intended to bring us together, could be available and meaningful on our own. Worship, Bible study, communion, prayer, they all took on at-home forms as we, like everybody else in the whole world, began to live our life and practice our faith virtually. And as if this wasn't enough, the sting of death has plagued our society as we have come face to face with systemic oppression in its many expressions. We have watched the poor and the working class bear the greatest economic burden of this pandemic. We have seen the disparities in our healthcare systems exposed in new and undeniable ways, and we have watched as our streets have filled with people crying out for change, for racial justice. And still we have seen others demanding a return to the status quo. Some cry out, "This is not who we are," while others insist, "This is the truth about who we have always been." And in the midst of it all, The stench of death lingers, and it threatens to end our community, and it seems to stamp out the possibility of a peaceful way forward. Yes, this has been a year unlike any other. And still on top of all of these things, many of us have experienced our own deep personal losses. Loved ones gone too soon, either from the coronavirus itself or from other causes. As a church, we have said goodbye to so many beloved members, founding members, senior adults, those whose lives have been made complete during this pandemic without us by their side. Because of all the precautions that we've had to make, we haven't been able to mourn and to grieve the ways that we have grown accustomed to. We haven't been able to draw near together, to share hugs and tell stories, to break bread together, to support one another as we share in our grief. This has been a year of pain and loss beyond all comprehension. And so, like the disciples on Good Friday and on Holy Saturday and even early Easter morning, we don't really know quite what to expect, do we? We don't know how or when. We just know that. In some ways, our journey to the church this morning feels a little bit like that walk to the tomb the women took early that day. They expected to find things as they left them, didn't they? After all, there hadn't been any activity in the tomb. It was just a body wrapped and left in a cave. The women came that day expecting to do all the things they were used to doing, all the traditional things. They came to anoint the body, to respectfully prepare it for burial, to do it properly. But instead, they were not met with the death that they expected to find. Things were not as they left them. Rather, the women became the first to bear witness to resurrection. Even though Jesus told them that this would happen, the women were alarmed and they saw with their eyes something they didn't expect to see. They saw something that was different from how they'd imagined it when Jesus told them it would happen, because resurrection was not a return to the way things were. Jesus was different now. He'd gone on ahead. And now these women, the three most faithful disciples who were with him all the way to the end, they were called to go and to tell the truth about all that they had seen. They didn't know how. They didn't know why. They just knew that they were called to bear witness that resurrection had come. Did you know that Mark's gospel has two endings? If you don't believe me, look it up. There's a longer one and there's a shorter one. And the shorter ending happens in the scripture we read today in chapter 16. It ends when the three women flee the tomb afraid from what they have just witnessed. But if you're looking at your Bibles, you might notice that even the shorter ending doesn't completely stop there. There's a little parenthetical note that says that they do, however, go and tell the other disciples. And the, quote, sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation is spread throughout the whole world. I love this ending. I love it because it leaves so many things open-ended. There's so much mystery and possibility. We, like the women approaching the tomb, never quite know how the stone is rolled away. We just know that it's rolled away. We don't know how resurrection came to Jesus. We only know that it did, that Jesus is alive. We don't know quite where Jesus' body is gone. We just know that it is gone up ahead of us. And we don't know how this will all play out. We only know that we are called to bear witness to what we have seen, to what we have experienced, to what we have felt, to what we know to be true. That is where faith comes in. Like the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthian church, we don't always know how or why God is working in us or around us. We only know that by the grace of God, resurrection happens. Even in the midst of a dire year like this one, where death seems to loom closer than ever before, by the grace of God, resurrection has been happening all along. Through expressions of love sent in the mail or dropped off on porches or made possible through technology, hope has proven its resilience. Through vaccines and community distribution efforts, there is a persistent little light that promises life has not been stamped out. Through creative minds and open hearts, people are working together in new ways to learn about and address centuries-old systems that have excluded some and privileged others, offering us all a glimpse of hope, bearing witness to the ever-present mystery and possibility of new life. Sisters and brothers, on this Easter Sunday, perhaps more than any other before, we know with a deep and resilient internal knowing that resurrection has happened. And resurrection is happening now, and it will always happen, because like the women heard first at the tomb, we proclaim today the resurrected Christ has gone up ahead of us and has entrusted us to bear witness to the truth that love is alive and lives in us today. As we persist in our hope, as we push forward in faith, and as we refuse to give up on God just because things looked pretty bad yesterday. Today, we proclaim that Christ is alive and that by the grace of God, love will live through each and every one of us as we bear witness to the resurrection with our hands and with our feet, showing up and serving one another and proclaiming that death will not have the last word. Hope endures, and it is making all things new. Poet and artist Jan Richardson reminds us that the women at the tomb that day, they have a decision to make. They have to choose whether or not they want to accept this calling to bear witness to hope, to bear witness to the resurrection, to go and tell what they have seen. Maybe it would have been easier just to pretend it didn't happen. Maybe it would have been easier to close the chapter and leave their vulnerable hope locked away, sealed with a stone. But somehow, in that moment, those women recognize that the empty tomb has been their destination all along. And we see, along with Mary and Mary and Salome, that this tomb is not the place to stop. It is not the end toward which we have been traveling, no. By the grace of God, it is only the beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.